You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Our ACC-SEC Super Tuesday doubleheader features some of the top teams in each conference. We got Paolo Banchero and number 9 Duke hosting Wake Forest. Then we got Kentucky taking on Tennessee. Both games right here on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Before we start the hour, we had some very big news in the Get Up family this morning. Quite literally, I'd like to introduce you to Isla Noble Havens,
yeah,
who was born today. And she, her mom, Allie, right, Allie is everyone's favorite person.
That's
on
right.
Get Up.
Absolutely.
To be clear, everyone
love her.
Is her. She's our producer. That's her daughter, and they share a birthday. They now both have the birthday of February 15th, mom and daughter, and mom, I'm told, is doing great.
Awesome.
So we're all
congrats.
Happy for Allie.
Happy birthday right. to both
Allie.
Of you.
Yeah.
Happy
awesome.
Birthday.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Beautiful girl.
What do we think of that? That's now
awesome.
We're done, right?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Allie. Getting it done.
Super Bowl.
And some in the meantime is going to have to count us down. Did she miss? She was supposed to have the baby yesterday on Valentine's Day, so she missed her count. You know, that's what Allie usually does. She's always like, 3, 2, Greeny, listen to me.
She went long.
She missed her count. Anyway, we welcome you back to another hour here of our little family program, live as always above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. The crew of Tuesdays is ready to go. We got a huge hour coming your way. Let's hit it. It's time to get up with Go Time in Green Bay. The Packers to make their pitch. As time ticks away on the Aaron era, can they do it? Where will it go? We've got the answers. Plus, Tampa Tom talks again, and he does not sound like he's taken his final snap. You need to hear this. We'll play it for you right off the top. Meanwhile, the Cowboys, questions. And the greatest of all the stars is the most concerned of everyone involved. All that and more in this hour. We're getting up with you starting right now with the recently retired Tom Brady. So he's got the podcast, right? Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray. He appears on it last night for the final time this season. And he was, of course, asked about his decision to retire, how he intends to spend his time away from football, and this is what he chose to say.
And I'm super content and happy with how I feel in my decision. And, as I said, all you can do is take it day by day. Nothing's promised for us. I'm going to do things that I really enjoy and spend time with people that I really enjoy spending time with. So the future is bright. I look forward to the opportunities that are ahead, and I look forward to speaking with everyone again next year. So, you know, thank you to everyone for their amazing support. Thanks for another great NFL football season, and I hope it just keeps getting better and better from here.
So, I mean, look, here's the thing. Brady is a calculated person.
Yeah.
You know, we talk so much about him and Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers is one who just, it's been like a year-long stream of consciousness with Pat McAfee, right? Whatever's in his mind, that second, he just says, and it's delightful, and that's his personality. Brady is very different, very buttoned up, very careful about what he says. It would cost him nothing to say, Jim, I'm retired. What part of retired did I not make clear?
Right.
I'm not playing football anymore. I'm doing all these other things. He keeps saying, we'll just take it day by day. What does that mean to you, Dominique?
He also said, I want to do things that I enjoy and spend time with people that I enjoy spending time with.
Right.
Man really enjoys playing football.
He does.
Really loves his teammates. I think that he's probably going to sit out for much of the season. And maybe this is wishful thinking, but I do believe that Tom Brady would give some strong consideration if there is a team that is loaded, has a good offensive line and some good weapons, and they don't have a quarterback somewhere midway through the season. I think he would give some serious consideration to come back. But I do think it's important that everyone knows, and please get this message to Tom Brady. I don't think he could win a Super Bowl in those circumstances.
Mm.
Like, I think Tom Brady would come back, and I think Tom Brady would be terrible. I just have to be honest with you. I think that's what happened. I think Tom Brady is incapable of entering a season at week 8 and leading a team to a championship.
Mm.
I love you, bro.
This just in.
I don't know.
They have to film another episode now of the reality series because he's got to come at Dominique like crazy as you are motivating him for all the rest of
it.
Us in Man in the Arena, and I appreciate it. Is he coming back? Yes or no?
I do think he is. I think he is coming back. And to his point, I don't know when he's coming back. I do think he'll play football again, whether it's middle of the season or starting the season. I think he is.
That's two votes for yes. Marcus Spears, is he coming back? Yes or no?
See, here's the thing.
It was like day thing, by guys. Day by day. See.
Okay. So where I grew up in South Baton Rouge, you would hear the ice cream truck, right? And you would be young and naive, so you would run outside. And then you realize the ice cream truck don't come to my hood. They in the nice part of town. That you just can hear the siren, right? And that's what y'all doing right now. Y'all hear the ice cream truck, but it ain't nowhere near y'all neighborhood. Tom Brady is the ice cream truck, okay? And he got good stuff on that truck. But he ain't sharing it with nobody no more, y'all. Just accept it. He's going to take all of his ice cream. He going to take his little music on his ice cream truck. And he going to be in the middle of the Mediterranean enjoying life with his wife, Giselle. That's what he's going to be doing. And Jeff Saturday going to be sitting on Get Up talking about, man, I wish Tom Brady was still playing. And Foxy going to say, a team going to call him halfway through the season, and Tom going to pick up the phone, and he going to tell that team, I cannot make it there because my boat is out of gas, and I'm waiting on my other boat to come put some gas in it. Okay? So y'all have at it, man. The ice cream truck is not coming to the hood. It's over. Brady,
if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be like Swaggoo with that little coin in his pocket, holding up this money, no ice cream. That's me. I feel like you, Swaggoo. Where's my ice cream? I'm just holding up. He turns on my hood and comes on down. I got my money ready. Okay. I just want it.
I love the analogy. Now let's get to what will actually happen. Give me the mechanics, right? Now he remains a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Stuff has to happen.
Right. Well, he's telling them he's retiring. They're going to need a quarterback. So let's say they go out and get one. Let's say they get whatever. Deshaun Watson, right? Just throw out a name. Well, at that point, then if Brady decides he wants to come back, then Tampa Bay's not going to bring him back. They're going to have to let him go. They're going to have to trade him. So it could be before week 8. It could happen in May or June, in fact. And also, there's a procedurally with his contract, the Buccaneers would have to make an adjustment. They have to wait till after June 1st if they want to cut him or put him on the retired list, because otherwise it would sock their cap this year. So there's a lot of machinations. But if theoretically he wants to go somewhere else and play, then this isn't a bad way to set it up.
It is, and I'll say it again. Mm-hmm. It is the road less traveled, or whatever the word is. He would not be blazing a new trail. Brett Favre did exactly this. He spent 1 year with the Jets. He retired again after the whole Green Bay thing. He waited. He knew they were going to draft a quarterback. They did. The Jets traded up to take Mark Sanchez in the draft, and they had no choice but to let Brett Favre walk, and he wound up in Minnesota, which is where he wanted to be all along.
I mean, there's a lot of good ice cream on that truck. You don't want it to melt.
That's exactly right. So we just got to figure out where Brady thinks the ice cream is best, and that's where he winds up. So that's one legendary quarterback. God. Let's go to the other one, and that would be Aaron Rodgers, because now, look, the new trend in the league is quarterbacks leaving their longtime organizations to go find rings elsewhere. It started, of course, with Brady, who left the Patriots in free agency, went to Tampa Bay, and won the Super Bowl in his first year, and he was named the MVP. Then this past season, it just happened 2 days ago, after a fruitless dozen years in Detroit, Matthew Stafford finds himself to L.A., becomes the third starting quarterback to win the Super Bowl in his first season with a new team. And, of course, none of this is going to be lost on Rodgers, who still has a year left on his contract, but has made it abundantly clear that he's not interested in being part of a rebuild. And I think it is worth reminding everyone that the contract is very specifically structured in a way, Dan, that gives him practically unprecedented leverage. To just simply say, well, he has a year left on his contract, that would make it sound like the Packers are in control of the situation. But the reality is, he is, right?
Right. His cap number, if he stays, is $46 million plus. They're already $50 million over the cap. And Devontae Adams, free agent, he's not even on that cap yet. So, yes, he has leverage. If he does not agree to a restructure or an extension, then they would have to trade him or release him in order to get under the cap. So, yes, he has control over the situation.
And you told us earlier this morning, I want for the audience that's just joining us, 3 weeks from yesterday is a very important date in all of this. 3 weeks. Why is that?
March 8th is the final day you can designate a franchise player. And Adams is a free agent. So if you're bringing him back and you have to franchise him to do it, you're going to need to know by then what Rodgers' plans are, because I don't think there's any doubt that Adams is going to base his plans, at least in part, on what Rodgers does.
Let me ask you a question. Just on the graphic, it talked about the new team will be on the hook for like $22 million. Yeah. So from a trading perspective, does the team trying to acquire Rodgers actually have leverage over the Packers because they understand what's going to hit them if they tried to hold on to him?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Packers sort of almost willingly put themselves in this position to get him to come back for last year.
Would they have to give up a bunch of trade value to get –
It would help the acquiring team in the negotiation, right? Because your strongest leverage as a team is trading is, well, we don't have to trade him. But if I know you do have to trade
him, right.
Then I don't necessarily feel like I have to pay your price.
So, Marcus, the clock is ticking on us here, whatever that adds up to, 20 days until this decision, it would seem, the first inflection point comes up. Where is Rodgers' head here? What do you think?
Well, I mean, you know, he said, I think a couple weeks ago, that he was going to make a quick decision. And quick meaning within the timeline we're talking about when decisions have to be made. And mm-hmm. I gave Aaron Rodgers credit for that because I think, like to Graz's point, Devontae Adams is important to Aaron Rodgers. And I believe that his part of the negotiation or whatever, the determination to get out of Green Bay or to come back will lie heavily on his communication with Devontae Adams and how Green Bay works that situation out. And remember this too, fellas. Aaron Rodgers was really critical of this franchise about retaining players. So he could be looking at Green Bay, seeing what they're going to do with Devontae as well. Because Devontae could be asking for an extension, big money, or they could be trying to play the game of a franchise or whatever the situation is where you don't have to pay him long term, which I think will affect Aaron Rodgers' decision whether to come back or not based on how they treat Devontae Adams. I don't know if that's confusing to everybody, but I think that's going to be a part of the conversation for Aaron Rodgers based on what he said after the season. He said, I didn't want to draw it out. I don't want to draw this out. A lot of guys have decisions to make, and he wants to let the Green Bay Packers know what his plans are. Now, I think he won out, y'all. Y'all know that. I've been saying that since last year. But Devontae Adams entering the fray, it may change his perspective on how he does things and whether he stays or not based on that relationship because it seems like they really, really close.
It seems like everything has been building to this moment. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like the Packers decided when they drafted Jordan Love that this was going to be the final moment. It seems like last year Aaron Rodgers decided this was going to be final moment. And for Devontae Adams, it feels like also the final moment. The only thing that has changed is I think the Packers want to be perceived as doing the right thing by their fans. And I think the Packers want to make it clear to Aaron Rodgers that we'll do whatever you want. We'll break our traditions in order to keep you here so that the fans understand that it's not them pushing their Hall of Fame quarterback out the door. It's him willingly deciding that he wants to go, and then they can sell their fans, which shouldn't be a hard sell because he's made it clear he don't want to be here. We're going to get as much as we can for him and try to rebuild this franchise, and hopefully we get lucky in the draft.
But I just don't want to misinterpret what you're saying. Are you suggesting that down deep inside the Packers themselves are ready, in your opinion, ready to move on from him and are just putting on the show for their fans?
Yeah, I mean, I think they expect to move on. I think they were surprised by the way that he came back and started playing extremely well again. I think they anticipated that they were going to have to move on from him because his career was in the decline. And now they're in a position where they're like, all right, we got all we could out of this player. It's now time to part ways.
Easy on the decline. not to his standards.
Yeah.
I do think they're breaking tradition. I don't agree with that. I think they are breaking tradition. They pushed Brett Favre out knowing they had a better quarterback in Aaron Rodgers for what they were trying to do. They do not believe that about Jordan Love. Otherwise, this would not sound the way they sound. So when they're talking about they'll fix, you know, they'll bring in Randall Cobb in the middle of the year, they'll make some changes to how they're going to address this football team and the players they're going to bring in that will go with what Aaron Rodgers wants. That is a break from tradition of what the Packers have traditionally done.
They didn't draft Aaron Rodgers, or they didn't draft a couple of person.
But they already
Love was in practice looking like Aaron Rodgers looked when they got rid of Brett Favre, they would be showing Aaron Rodgers the door.
That's what
publicly.
I'm saying.
So this is they're.
But they
stuck
don't
in his
want
position.
Him to leave. Matt LaFleur does not want Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah.
Matt LaFleur knows his team is not as good without Aaron Rodgers.
Agreed.
So to believe that coaches are going to be 100%. Better without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
you know.
But the coaches don't get to make these decisions at the end of the day. I have to leave it there. There's so much in this, and again, the clock is ticking on Rodgers as we speak. Meanwhile, another situation: the Colts. They gave up a lot to get Carson Wentz. Should they already be giving up on that experiment? Is he done? In Indy, we're talking about that in a moment. Plus, huge Cowboy questions. And the greatest of all the stars is the one asking them. You'll hear it coming up. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Pat. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on a busy morning on Get Up. Dan Graziano, let's run the hurry up. What is the latest on Deshaun Watson?
We've been hearing for a long time about a deposition he was going to have in his case. He has the 22 lawsuits against him. That deposition will take place a week from today, next Tuesday. Once that happens, I think there's a belief that things can move forward a little bit with the lawsuits and that we might have some sense of what kind of consequences he's facing, not just legally, but also from the NFL in terms of potential discipline. And once there's a little bit of clarity on that, I think you'll see trade talks move forward between the Houston Texans and interested teams. So a milepost on the calendar that could help with the resolution there. Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, this got a little bit lost, I think, in the shuffle of Super Bowl Sunday, but Adam Schefter reported that he has a meeting coming up with Andy Reid to discuss his future with the team. He is not under contract for next year at the present time. There are other teams that may be interested in him, and so this is a situation worth watching. Will Bieniemy move on from the Chiefs, or will they re-sign him and bring him back as their offensive coordinator? Obviously, another disappointing head coach interview cycle for Eric Bieniemy. And then Carson Wentz, another report we had over the weekend, this one from Chris Mortensen, saying that he would expect the Colts to trade or release Carson Wentz, who had a disappointing finish to his first season in Indianapolis. Colts are looking at their options and may well be inclined to bring in an upgrade over Wentz. They've changed quarterbacks every year for the last 3-4 years, and I don't think they're going to be afraid to do it again if there's a better option that presents itself.
Well, look, Carson Wentz, he had the Charles Dickens season, right? It was the best of times, and it was the worst of times, all right? The good and the bad. Let's put them up on the screen if we can. The good, he had 27 passing touchdowns and just 7 interceptions that tied his fewest in a single season ever. The bad, over the final 2 games when they really needed it, he went 0-2 with a QBR of just 13 and threw for just 166 yards per game. So there's no one here who has a horseshoe on his heart except Jeff Saturday. And we know how much this means to you. I mean, you do, right?
Absolutely.
I appreciate how much you care about it. Swagoo's got the Cowboys and you've got the Colts. And so what do you think? They've been somewhat uncharacteristically unsupportive of him vocally sort of since that went that way. What do you think happens with Wentz here?
Yeah, I think he's done in Indy. I mean, I think when you look at what happened with Wentz and the way the season ended and you hear all the things and reports coming out of Indianapolis, there's not a lot of – it does not feel like it's a hopeful situation. I would say this, though. Chris Ballard, Frank Reich, and Jim Irsay all understand it's not just letting somebody go. It's who can you get to replace him. So if they don't feel like whoever they can get is going to be an upgrade, I think they would roll it back or run it back with Carson Wentz and try to get him better. Listen, 210 yards per game is not good enough. Not for a first and third round pick who's at whatever year in the league he is and has had the performance. Like, you got to have more. And I think there's part of that he didn't meet expectations. The numbers themselves are good. But in the most important games, you know, Tennessee Titans didn't play well at the end, right? So there's so many things that that go against what Wentz was trying to do. And so I would say I think he's done, but it also is predicated on, I think they're watching the Aaron Rodgers news because that's going to be the domino that lets all the others fall so they can find out where they really are in the sweepstakes of QB.
So what's interesting to me, Marcus, I remember we talked so much about Wentz during the previous offseason, and I said there was no player that has more pressure this year than Wentz does because he got everything he could have possibly asked for in his departure from Philadelphia. If this doesn't work out, then what could possibly be next? So, Marcus, if indeed it didn't work out and they want to move on from him, what's next for Carson Wentz?
Bouncing around, and hopefully you can try to get lightning in a bottle. This feels real Sam Bradford to me. I don't know if y'all remember how Sam Bradford's career was going, but it was like all of this talent and expectation, and then it ends up faltering. Here, the problem with Carson Wentz, and I talked about it like you, G, talked about it before the season. Phillip Rivers was a couple plays away from going to the AFC Championship with the same football team. And they weren't as good on the ground as they were this year with Jonathan Taylor, obviously. So Carson Wentz actually hurt this team. And that is what Chris Ballard and Irsay and obviously Frank Reich is looking at, because Frank Reich pushed his chips in the middle of the table too to get Carson Wentz, thinking that that would elevate this football team, and he did not perform well under pressure. I said it a while back, man. I think Carson Wentz's mind is broken, y'all. Like, we know, all right? We just watched this Super Bowl. We know majority of these games, when you're on a good team, are going to come down to your quarterback making plays at the end of a game. We all know that. We can look at every single game that we saw teams going to the playoffs, or games that was close with high-level implications on them, whether a team would go forward or not. And it came down to their quarterback and their offense being able to push the ball downfield and make plays. None better than what we saw Matthew Stafford have to do in the Super Bowl. Carson Wentz has not delivered in those moments.
That's right.
And if you're a team that's Super Bowl contenders, or you think you can win, he's not the guy to lead your team, because you know those circumstances and situations are going to come up. It's similar to what we talk about with Jimmy Garoppolo.
So, Foxy, you would call him Foxy. Dominique, make a prediction for me here. If Carson Wentz is not on the Colts this coming season, is he a week one starter somewhere in the NFL?
I absolutely think he'll be a week one starter, because he still has that one season that everyone is holding on to and everyone believes they can bring it out of him. I would disagree with Swaggle on one thing, and he's kind of saying that Carson Wentz is broken. It's like, no, this is who Carson Wentz is. That one season that we saw him, like, that was broken. But I do think that there's one good thing that Carson Wentz has, is he's going to be in the Dan Orlovsky Hall of Fame. Because Dan Orlovsky picks his guys and he puts them in the Hall of Fame.
That's not nice. Graziano, what?
I just had this vision of Orlovsky showing up like 6 years from now in a Wentz
t-shirt
after he leads the Lions to the Super Bowl title or whatever.
Great.
Yeah. I think that to Swaggoo's point, he said he hasn't come through in those situations. It's even worse than that. He actively hurt the Colts in the biggest situations.
Hurt
and
the
I think
Colts,
that's
yeah.
what they're looking at, right?
Yeah.
They believe they have a really good roster that can win. You bring in a quarterback that either isn't going to hurt you or is going to help you more than he hurts you, right? Stafford led the league in interceptions, but he managed to win the big games even in spite of that.
That's
so
right.
that can work. But I do think Wentz, look, he's got $15 million in guaranteed money coming no matter what. Another $7 million becomes guaranteed when the league year starts. It's going to be tough to move. Right. But if you're the Colts, you have a window to win now. Uh-huh. I think your front office and your coaching staff are under some pressure to win now.
Yeah.
I eating $15 million to get a quarterback upgrade, that might not be a bad idea.
And you see the date on your screen. We told you the date on Rodgers, the pressure point is March 8th. This one you see is just a little after that. These moves are coming fast and furious in the NFL. Everything got pushed back a week by the Super Bowl. These decisions are getting made as we speak. We'll continue to cover them for you here as we continue. Huge Cowboys questions, and the greatest of all the stars is perhaps the most concerned of all. We will get to that in just a moment. Plus, oh no, Joe, a security alert in Cincinnati. Our Marcus Spears is sounding the alarm for Joe Burrow. We're talking about it next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
I know some people in this league need security. Everybody ain't getting dumped around here. This long gone mother law. He needs a new security guard. They better find somebody quick. Athleticism is a trait of being a security guard. And when you don't have none, you get your quarterback killed by a little guy. Like when the big dude run up on one of the little dudes and then you find out he a damn MMA fighter and you get beat to sleep. You need new security.
All right, otherwise known as Swagoo's Revenge. We did the pancakes earlier, and am I told, Swagoo, that this is an all Super Bowl edition of security?
Yeah, it is, G, and I feel terrible about it, but it's got to get done because Joe Burrow is my guy. But right now, I do not care because he needed new security like all season long. Yes. So can we get it popping, please? First and foremost, y'all already know who I'm going to start this off with. There is no reason to start it off with no one else. It is that man, that aminal, number 99, to get in there. This is a one-arm tackle, y'all. Yeah. Look at this. This is a grown man with ability and pride that worked out in the weight room all season long, too. And then Aaron Donald comes back and goes to the other side and say, I'm going to whoop the other boy. Because you at the front, though. You acting all funny. I'm going to go to the back, though, and whoop the security guard at the back, though, too. I'm already in the club. I'm going to just go whoop him because I want to. Okay? Next, Von Miller. Von came in and said, hey, man, let me go and help these dudes get to another Super Bowl, and let me go and make my presence felt in the Super Bowl as well. Joey B ain't got no protection. That's what the D-line said for the Los Angeles Rams. Don't nobody want to hold the door for this guy. It is free access. Anybody get in the club. You ain't even got to be 18. You don't even need a fake ID. You need no ID. You just need to go around the club, and they're going to let you in to have a good time. And guess what? You ain't even got to be 21 to drink. Just put it in the water bottle. That's what they said. So Von Miller said, forget it. I'm going to go and get me some sacks. And then Ernest Jones. Look, man, this dude played really well. And this was a good block by Joe Mixon. The only problem is when you're a security guard, you have to pick the dude up by the back of his shirt and escort him back to the car. And you got to do it in front of the ladies. So he's too embarrassed to try to get up and come back again. But he didn't. He didn't pick him up. He didn't move him out of the club. He said, hey, man, I'm going to give you a little resistance. But if you want to come in, just come on in. It's us one-on-one. So, Joe Burrow, I apologize. You know how much I love you. But the Los Angeles Rams showed up to the club. They needed no ID. They didn't have to be over 18, and they didn't have to be over 21 once they got in. All of the sections and all of the booths were filled with yellow and blue and white.
That is extremely well done. Actually, I wish you could have all seen Jeff's face because particularly on that second one where just nobody picked up Von Miller. Jeff literally went
just,
as a
just free as a bird.
Lineman, why did you free react? As a
bird. It disgusts me. It disgusts me.
Why?
It's like Joe Burrow paid the fake break for everybody. Because it should be passed off easy. That is not a tough game to pass off.
To be fair.
Gaines is the other passer. Push that dude off and let him go chase your quarterback. Don't let Von Miller.
No, but I want to make clear what you're saying because
you
a lot
Miller
of us watch this that don't have your level of expertise and think, well, their guys are just better than their guys.
No.
But you're talking about it's not just they're being physically overmatched, but their
technique
was
terrible. Yeah, I mean, he should have let Gaines go way early, pushed him off, let your right tackle pick up a less than superb pass rusher. You dang sure don't let Von Miller come off the edge untouched.
Man.
I don't care if both guys drop 91. Burrow can get away from him. He ain't getting away from 40, bro.
It's
like you let him in the club and let somebody else outside.
Because that sounds like, is that a coaching issue? Jeff. Is that a communication issue? Why are you?
Because Jeff Saturday is a four-time All-Pro.
Look.
Like, you're making it sound like it's so easy. I played across from Champ Bailey, and he would do things, and I'd be like, hey, I could just go out there and do that, too. No, it's not that easy to see the whole field.
Okay, how long do you play football?
If you had to pick between Gaines and Von Miller, which one are you blocking?
I'm blocking
Von. No, hold on. Just look at him. Freeze it for us. Let's see it. Oh, which one are you letting go?
I'm blocking Von.
Okay, thank you. It ain't that hard, bro.
Let Jeff get this out.
Which one is faster? Which one has gotten a Super Bowl MVP by destroying quarterback? Let's block him.
I just thought that was an interesting insight there, Swagoo, because it's not just about, like, I'll watch this game and I'll think, well, their guys are just so much better than the Bengals guys. They can't block it. But there are other problems with the security, Swagoo, that you were sort of pointing out, and Jeff is as well.
Gee, that was the simplest pass off in NFL history. Yeah. I done got my face mask crushed so many times running that game, and sometimes it works. But Von Miller is on the outside. That's all your attention. Okay?
That's exactly right.
Jeff Saturday is absolutely right, like he did for his whole career, passing off games with big physical defensive tackles. That particular situation right there was two offensive linemen not knowing what the hell was going on.
Yep.
Okay? Because 40 coming free as opposed to games like Jeff Saturday said is blasphemous.
Yes. And so that brings us to where we were here, because again, Dan Orlovsky, who had a lot to say yesterday, made one point that I thought was fascinating, and that is he said Joe Burrow, the concern here is that Joe Burrow is the next Andrew Luck, which is he's getting beat to shreds to a level that is so bad that eventually the life gets beat out, not literally, but you know, the football just gets beaten out of you. Is that a concern right now in Cincinnati?
It's not just physical either. This is a mental deal. Like we always hear about quarterbacks chasing ghosts. There was a throw that Burrow made in the game out to Ja'Marr Chase on the right-hand side that was short-armed because he had been beaten just like he beaten to sleep. I mean, dang, bro. Like, how many shots you got that you got sacked 70 times in a season? It's not just the physical toll. It's the mental toll. It's the clock in your head. It's all that goes into having a successful play on offense, which requires rhythm, timing, all the – and when it's always – I mean, I watched – we did a year's worth of pancakes, and we found three villains. He found three murderous plays in one freaking game, bro. Like, how does that?
He left some. He left some too.
That cannot happen. Like, I've said this before. Joe Burrow has been an anomaly to me for many reasons. The number one is how he can put all of these plays behind him and still perform at the level he does. It's dang near miraculous what he's been capable of doing.
Let me get Graz in here. Go ahead, Danny.
And Luck did that early in his career as well, right? So we see that chart there, and it compares the two. Now, the key thing to notice is it was 7 years of Andrew Luck versus two of Joe Burrow, not even two full seasons, by the way, of Joe Burrow. So the Bengals have to identify this problem. I believe that they will. They can spend resources on it. They don't have a lot of other areas. I mean, there's some, but they don't have a lot of other areas to throw resources at. There are some very interesting free agent offensive linemen we talked about in the first hour. I expect to see them do it. Look, they brought in Frank Pollock, the offensive line coach, last year during the season to help overhaul it, and I think he did it with a focus on the run game. But I think they turn it a little more toward pass protection. I believe they will.
That for sure.
So to be clear, they need new security, and they will hopefully go out and get some for their quarterback. In the meantime, let's play a game of take your pick here.
They need the Secret Service, bro.
Jeff, I'm starting with you. Which of this year's Super Bowl teams is likelier to get back next year, the Rams or the Bengals? Who you got?
I'm going to go Rams. I think they're going to keep OBJ just come off the injury. I think Robert Woods comes back. I think Aaron Donald is the key piece. I think he does stay and continue to play, and this team will continue to get better. Stafford got better as the season went on, especially in the playoffs. He played lights out. I think that translates, and this team has a better opportunity than the Bengals.
All right, let's go to Cincinnati's very competitive division. Dominique, which quarterback is more likely to lead his team to a division title, Lamar Jackson or Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, I think it has to be Lamar Jackson. Both of them had kind of down years last year, but Lamar's year was down statistically, and he got hurt a bit, but he also had the team on his back. So you get back a full-strength Ravens team next year, I have more faith in that. And if you get back a healthy Baker Mayfield, he'll be better. But, I mean, you look at the history of these organizations, and one of them you can rely on, and the other one, I guess you can rely on too, but in the other direction.
But in the other way, yeah. Swagoo, which team is more likely to make the NFC Championship game next year, the Cowboys or the Niners? Who you got?
I got the Cowboys by default. Listen, I ain't happy about it, but I don't know who the quarterback is going to be for the San Francisco 49ers. I don't know what Trey Lance is going to turn into. So that's the only reason, G. But if you was asking me to pick, like, while the season was going on, it would probably be the 49ers. They were there this year just knocking at the door. So I'm not confident in this one, but I guess I go with the Cowboys because they have Dak, and I don't know the situation with the 49ers.
And the Cowboys obviously have had so many great players. Maybe the greatest of them all was Emmitt Smith. And he said this on a radio station in San Antonio, quote, "When I look at our Cowboys, I'm looking for who are we going to be? Are we going to stay the same? Or are we going to just take all of this talent and waste it over 3 or 4 or 5 year time frame, assuming and expecting to do something great, doing the same things over and over and over again? It's frustrating as hell," he went on to say. "You see great talent being wasted. You see time passing."
Yep.
That's Emmitt Smith talking there. Marcus, what do you think he's saying? What when he says doing the same thing over and over again, great talent being wasted, time passing, what's Emmitt trying to say, Swagoo?
See, I'm talking to Foxy on this one, okay? Because none of you other guys can relate. All right, G, you in the Hall of Fame. Jeff Saturday is going to be in the Hall of Fame. Groz is going to be in some Writers Guild Hall of Fame. Me and Foxy, we were just solid, good football players.
Yeah,
and solid. But Foxy, see, this is what happened, Foxy. This is what happens, all right? How many times have you heard me say this, Dominique Foxworth? How many times have you heard me say the same thing Emmitt Smith just said about the Cowboys?
All the time.
But when I say it, I'm a fan, and I ain't doing that. Listen, man, everybody knows it. Nobody is going to say anything different about the Dallas Cowboys. No one. It's been talent being wasted. When I was there, I felt like we wasted talent. We had an opportunity. We were a good team, made the playoffs, never could go deep and get it done. It's been being wasted, okay? Eight years with Jason Garrett. You got Mike McCoy. Listen, let me put this in context so I can pass the mic, all right? Because I'm going to settle down. It's the off season, and I'm looking forward to watching my daughter play volleyball. I'm looking forward to my son play basketball. I want to put this in perspective for everybody, okay? We just came off a conversation where Joe Burrow got sacked 70 times and his team just played in the Super Bowl. And the Cowboys don't know if they want their head coach.
I mean, it is the look on the face says it all from Swagoo. I do like it. I mean, look, yes, you've been saying it a long time, and a lot of people have been saying it. When it comes from Emmitt, it really does, based upon not only his stature, but you know the relationship that he must have with ownership there, Jerry and
Emmitt. It felt like he was talking about Mike McCarthy to me.
I'm not sure how else he could mean it.
Yeah, when he's saying talent being wasted, he's talking about the coach wasting the talent. And I think that Emmitt Smith is onto something, but the problem is it's not going to change anything because it's not the first time that a Cowboy great has said this. Like, I feel like I've heard Michael Irvin say similar things. I've heard Troy Aikman say similar things. You even heard Jerry Jones allude to the fact that he wasn't happy with it. But nothing's changed. So we'll see. This team, I think, a lot like the Bengals, this team knows what they have to address in offseason, which isn't a terrible place to
be. It's ironic because Emmitt Smith sounds like he thinks the Cowboys need a new coach. Jerry Jones sounds like he thinks the Cowboys need a new coach. He's the one who could do it. Thought, Jeff, go.
I fully listen. The scary part about the Cowboys, their team might not be as good next year.
Right.
I'm just letting you know, they got offensive line issues, they got receiver issues. I mean, you know, everybody thinks they're just going to go in status quo. It doesn't work that way in the NFL. They should be nervous.
Randy Gregory's a free agent. DeMarcus Lawrence probably needs something done with his contract to be back. They have work to do. This might have been their best shot. I understand the frustration.
Yeah, and Amari Cooper is a part of that, right,
absolutely.
As well. We see a lot of these guys that may wind up elsewhere. Okay, more as we go. By the way, I want to make sure you're aware that Thursday night we've got a big one. Don't miss the She Believes Cup, the U.S. women's national team taking on the Czech Republic. That's at 11 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. As we continue, coming up, let the finger pointing begin. What the actual heck is going on with Kyler Murray? Could he actually end up getting traded this offseason? We got to get to the bottom of what he's been doing. And then we got to get to this. Sneaky Hembo is ready for Graziano today. Here's the question. Who is the all-time leader in fantasy points over a player's first three NFL seasons? That's the question. The answer's coming up. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we're back on Get Up, and there's a lot of dispute right now over at the desk as to whether or not this should count as a football question, because fantasy is a little different.
Oh.
But let's see if Graziano can nail
down
it.
On it. Yeah.
Who is the all-time leader in fantasy points over a player's first three NFL seasons?
I feel like it's got to be a quarterback, but then I was thinking, okay, well, Mahomes, but he didn't play his first season, and Lamar only played half of his first season. I don't have a good – you know what? I'm going to say Lamar. I'm going to say he did enough in that first season.
See, Lamar is fourth.
Okay.
Kyler Murray is second, and that's what we're about to talk about. So that, I think, is who we wanted you to guess.
Yeah.
The answer is Cam Newton.
Ooh. Oh,
Cam
all right.
Newton
I should have got that.
Answer.
I should have got that. Very
Kyler
good.
Kyler Murray again second on the list. It goes Cam Newton, then Kyler Murray, Andrew Luck, Lamar Jackson. I think the survey says that one should not count.
You should be
I don't think it should count.
Oh, no.
Fantasy question.
Fantasy?
I should have got it.
No,
you shouldn't. Totally legit.
Knowing fantasy is not the same thing as knowing football.
I play fantasy. I should have got it. Totally legitimate question.
No.
On me for not getting
an asterisk. I want an asterisk next to the six on this, right? What does Dominique say?
Don't
take that shot, Kalen. Let's see. The guys don't like it. No way, right?
Don't count. That ain't football.
We don't like it.
Don't like it because the offensive linemen.
Meanwhile, the reason we were talking about this is because Kyler Murray is our next story. Did you see what he did? He scrubbed his social media of anything that has anything to do with the Cardinals. And then that happened like a week and a half ago. Then our Chris Mortensen reports over the weekend that there's been, quote, an odd vibe with the Cardinals, and that a frustrated Murray, following the team's loss to end the season, responding to reports of him being called self-centered and immature. Here's what he said about that yesterday. He said, I played this game for the love of it. My teammates, everyone who has helped me get to this position that believed in me and to win championships. All of this nonsense is not what I'm about. Never has been, never will be. Anyone who's ever stepped between those lines with me knows how hard I go. Love me or hate me, but I'm going to continue to grow and get better. And I would be much more inclined to listen to that if the nonsense hadn't started with him. Again, I want to focus in on the avatar. That's his social media. He took anything that has to do with the Cardinals off of it. That's him playing at Oklahoma and then him playing for the Oakland A's. And left out completely is the team that drafted him number one and that he's played for the last 3 years. And if you go to his social media, he's taken anything to do with them off. There's no pictures. There's no nothing. So, Swagoo, what stage is that in a relationship? We're still together, but I've taken any evidence of you, all evidence of you, off my social media. Where does that leave them or us?
Two things. We need time apart, or I'm waiting to see if I can find a better girlfriend. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's it. Listen, man, when you think about this thing in totality, and obviously it's something going on, and Kyler knows in 2022, if you scrub the social media of your team and the who you're a QB1 for, people are going to have this type of reaction because it's warranted. Like, you support your team. All of the team guys that like their team, that love them, they support them. They're in their social media. But here's my big concern with Kyler Murray, and this is the one thing that I've noticed throughout his career, even when at Oklahoma, when things go bad, I don't see Kyler Murray be that light for the rest of his team. And I'm talking about from an emotional standpoint on the sideline. I see Kyler Murray pout. I see Kyler Murray get in his own head. I see him get frustrated. I got respect that he didn't throw AJ Green under the bus for the miscommunication. But it also was like, man, listen, I have not ever seen Kyler Murray. And maybe because I haven't seen all of him. I haven't seen every game he's played in outside of watching film of the Cardinals. But I just don't ever get that vibe from Kyler Murray that he's going to go to his team and reassure those guys, reconfirm. Now, he may be doing it, but the optics from the sideline has always been something that's been puzzling to me about his reaction to when things are going bad. Now, that doesn't absolve Cliff Kingsbury for having a terrible game plan in the first playoff game. That doesn't absolve other guys from playing bad. But as the QB and the guy that's going to get all the attention, I just have not seen that publicly from Kyler Murray, him go take the reins of his team and tell everybody, rally behind me and let me take us to where we need to go.
Yeah,
maybe I'm wrong, but I haven't seen that.
No, the body language is something that many have pointed out and that kind of thing on the sideline. And so there's that part of it. And there are the reports from Ward over the weekend. And then there's the very real, I mean, he took them off of his social media in 2022. That is the beginning of a breakup, right?
Yeah, you're definitely trying to get their attention. And you want something from them, something to change. Yeah. If it's the way they talk to you, it's the way they treat you, or it's the way that they pay you, or if it's who they surround you with. And to Swagoo's point, maybe all that is true. Well, you need to find some people and put them around him that will pick him up and put him in the mental headspace to do the things that you need. Because there is one person in the entire building that is this special and this valuable, and that person's name is Kyler Murray. So if Cliff Kingsbury does not make him feel confident, you gotta go. Steve Keim don't. See you later, alligator. You need to, after wild crocodiles, to anybody who is not making Kyler Murray better, because you're not finding another guy like that.
Well, and you made that point earlier, Jeff, that this has been out there a little bit now. The social media piece of this was, I talked about this on the radio, it feels like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And now this reporting from Mort came over the weekend, and here we are to Tuesday, and there's been nothing from Arizona.
Kingsbury, neither guy has stepped up and said, hey, no, this is not how we feel about this situation. We understand that Kyler's upset. We understand this, but he is our guy. We're putting our full support behind him. We're going to move forward. That is something that needs to be said from team leadership. And let me just say this. People who follow our show, they know that I'm a social media savant. But it doesn't take a genius. And I've been married 20-plus years. But if I had been married 3 years, and my wife decided to scrub me from all her social media, we done. This isn't a message being sent, right? You want to send a message, call me, text me. I know y'all don't text or call. Y'all snap or something. Whatever y'all do, do whatever you got to do to let me know behind closed doors. Don't put me out on Front Street the way you just did. That right there is issue.
You're suggesting that if there were trouble in your marriage, your wife would Snapchat you that information?
I'm saying
that
how they do now.
Danny, what do you think?
I don't even know where I was going to go before that. treatise
Kyler
on social
Murray.
Media. Yeah,
Kyler,
look, something's up. Like, there's something up between Kyler Murray and the team, and I agree with Jeff that I think publicly the team should probably come out
Absolutely.
And say something, or else this is going to fester. Now, it may be if they're, and again, he's extension eligible for the first time this offseason. It could be if they're trying to do a negotiation that the team thinks it benefits them for this to sort of sit out there and not say anything, right? Because that maybe that helps your leverage. But I don't know that it's the best way to manage your player. And bottom line, they're stuck with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going into year four. They'll certainly pick up the fifth-year option for 2023. I'm just
Lock
not sure
up.
Where else they're going to go right now.
All right, Swagoo's got to get ready for First Take. They're coming up in just a few moments. Love you, big fella. As always, Marcus getting set to go. First
Swagoo.
Take, top of the hour. How significant is James Harden's absence from the 76ers? They're talking about it. Molly, Stephen A., Monica McNutt, and the big Swagoo on the way. Top of the hour here on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we've got our ACC-SEC Super Tuesday doubleheader featuring some of the top teams in each conference. 7 Eastern, you'll see Paolo Banchero and number 9 Duke taking on Wake Forest. And then number 4 Kentucky visiting number 16 Tennessee. Both games are right here on ESPN and on the ESPN app. One more mention, and we had an addition to the Get Up family today. The most popular person at Get Up by far
yes.
is Allie Havens, who is our producer.
And
that's
baby.
Her new daughter, Isla, who was born this morning.
Yeah.
Allie was here to produce the Super Bowl show yesterday. She was in the 4 o'clock meeting. She then got otherwise occupied. And that's the result. Congratulations, Allie. We love you.
Congrats.
First Take starts now.